time or another around Wednesday night if I finish this up tonight, this morning. So I want to start this morning in 1 Kings chapter 10, and we'll be in this chapter in these 10 verses. Matter of fact, primarily in one of these verses for the next 3 weeks studying, and or at least until God gets done with us, and it may take 4 weeks if the Lord adds something on to it. I thought I had a simple sermon, preach about 25 minutes on it, and it turned into a three-part series that'll probably take an hour apiece. So you pray that the Lord would help us, because it doesn't ever end. I tell you, this Word of God is inexhaustible. And God's bigger than what you know He is and bigger than what you understand that He is. Matter of fact, some of you that's just not that spiritual and you get worried about preaching and preaching long and preaching too much and preaching too hard and all that kind of stuff, that does show a sign of you not being that spiritual. And if you'd ever get a hold of how big God is and ever get a hold of how big the Word of God is, you'd realize I'm not doing near enough preaching. And you'd be hungering for more and more of it. And you'd be hollering, preach on and stay on and don't quit. And I know that that's right, because I've been in places where folks is that hungry for it. And I appreciate the Word of the Lord. Praise God for a Bible. Thank God for a copy of the Word of God. 1 Kings 10, stand with us if you will, and we'll read God's Word together here in the meeting this morning. It's kind of hard to even know how to preach after a meeting like this, I'm going to tell you. After all that God's already done this morning, sometimes it's almost easier to preach after a dead meeting. On account of you can't kill it. There ain't nothing you can do to make it worse. And so sometimes it's almost easier to preach after a dead meeting. Thank God for the move of the Holy Spirit this morning. And I appreciate everything that's been done. From the time that I arrived at the time of prayer all the way through till now, it's been the Lord's moving among us. I've wept and cried and blubbered and blown my nose so much that I have soaked up 5 sets of paper towels. Bounty. They say you're supposed to be able to use that one sheet of Bounty and clean up that whole cup of water. There's about 8 or 10 cups of it then, because I got a whole bunch of them going this morning, and I hadn't restocked my handkerchiefs yet either, so I got to do that. Me and Brother Matthew, he's probably got half of mine at his house, so me and him both will work on that and restock the handkerchiefs in the pulpit. And I'm so thankful for the move of the Lord. And we have been the recipients of His gracious presence. And I appreciate that. And that's what's necessary for us. This is the hope. This is the hope of my children and of yours. This is the hope of them. They'll find hope and help in meetings just like this. This is the only place they'll find it. The world does not have it to offer them. They don't even know how to keep their money in the bank safe. They don't have any idea what to do with today, let alone what to do with tomorrow. I'm telling you, but there's one that holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And we've got a book that's more up to date than tomorrow's newspaper. Thank God for the Lord and thank God for his blessings. All right, 1 Kings 10, verse number 1, the word of the Lord says, "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels and bare spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything he had from the king which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent, by which he went up unto the house of the Lord." Notice that. "His ascent, by which he went up to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said unto the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I had heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king to do judgment and justice. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, and very great store and precious stones. And there came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. It's a very precious passage of scripture from the word of God, telling of the time when the Queen of Sheba, as she's called here in our text, or as our Lord called her in Matthew, the Queen of the South, who we see called Balcus by the Arabians. She had heard of the fame of Solomon and journeyed to Jerusalem to see for herself whether the tales that she had been told of him were true. The people of the day in the country where this queen journeyed were pagans. She lived in a pagan land. They participated in Sabaism. And as such, I have little cause to believe that she knew much of anything about the Lord and the God that Solomon served. However, when she arrived at Jerusalem and watched him, one of the things that she was so impressed with was the way he went up to the house of the Lord, according to verse 5. She noticed his ascent, the way he went up to the house of the Lord. Now, I want to tell you, the world's watching this morning the way we go up to the house of God. And surely after a meeting like this, I could just preach on that one phrase. It's not what I'm going to concentrate on. But I thought it's mighty appropriate concerning the meeting this morning and how God's people have worshiped, that the world is watching the way that we go up to the house of God. It does matter. It matters what we do. It matters how we do it. It matters the manner we go about it. It matters the method we go about it. It matters the heart that we have towards it. It matters our appearance, our attentiveness, our apparel, our attention, our attire. Everything about us matters when we go up to the house of the Lord and people are watching us. But before she left, she knew nothing about the house of God, knew nothing about God, knew nothing about the Lord that Solomon served when she came. But before she left, she was praising Solomon's God. In verse number 9, she said, "Blessed be the Lord thy God." She's not just praising Solomon, but when she saw the working of God in his life and in his kingdom, she praised Solomon's God. "Blessed be thy God." Amen. And she makes a statement concerning the stories which was told about Solomon's wisdom, his splendor, his wealth, and his blessings in verse number 7. Now she said, "I had heard the acts," in verse 6, but she says, "I believed not the words until I came and mine eyes had seen it." That reminds me of the fellow sitting up under the tree. Was it Nathaniel sitting up under the tree? Up under the fig tree. And he said that one comes to him and said, "We found him of whom the prophets had told us about. It's Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But the witness said unto him, "Come and see." And she said, "I believed it not till I came and I saw it for myself. I saw it with my own eyes and then I did believe it." But notice what she said then. "When I saw it and I believed it and I realized it was true, I also realized, behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard." I want to preach probably over the next 3, maybe the next 4 weeks, on the half has not been told. The half has not been told. We've been spending this morning most of the time that we've been here since we got started back around 9:45, 9:50 this morning, talking about the goodness, the grace, and the wonder of our Lord. How good it is to be saved. And surely this morning the half has not been told. We've not even begun to tell about it. And now she makes this statement concerning this, and she said the half has not been told. Our Lord shared this story in 2 Gospels, and he said it this way in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. "The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Jesus himself makes a correlation between himself as king and Solomon as king. And these things the queen said about Solomon, we could apply unto our Lord Jesus Christ and much, much more, because a greater than Solomon is here. And when I get done with the half is not told, I may preach a while on a greater than Solomon is here. Amen. And surely, friend, we do have a Lord that's greater than Solomon. And the queen made it clear that she had heard many stories, but the half had not been told. And today, friend, I want to preach on the half has not been told. I want to start this morning and talk to you about his cradle and tell you that the half has not been told concerning his cradle. Our Lord and his birth and the experience that we celebrate this time of year at the Christmas season, the half has not been told. Many simply see a cute little baby in a manger scene at Christmas. But friend, the half has not been told. I want to say today, friend, first of all, concerning the half has not been told about his cradle, that it's not been told concerning the miracle of the incarnation. The miracle of the incarnation, the very fact that God came to earth is impossible for us really to describe and declare and fully understand. The half has not been told of it. Amen. There are three significant miracles. Three significant miracles that make up the framework of Christianity. First of all, there is the virgin birth. Secondly, there is the resurrection. And third, there is the second coming. And friend, without the first one of those three, without the virgin birth, you don't have the resurrection and you don't have the second coming. And that Jesus is not who he said he is. He's a fraud. He's a liar. And all of us are dead in our sins. Amen. And so the half has not been told concerning his, the miracle of his incarnation. The incarnation is the truth that God united himself with man so that he could pay redemption's price. There are a few things about his incarnation of which we cannot tell the half. I want to say we can't tell a half of his incarnation when it comes to talking about his father. Amen. I mean, Mary was a spouse to Joseph, her fiance, her espoused husband. Amen. That she had never known what it was to be with a man. That which was conceived in her was not of the work nor of the efforts of mankind, but it was the work of the Holy Ghost. It was the work, my friend, of the power of God in her life. And my friend, hey, Luke chapter 1 verse 35 said, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Not the son of some individual, not the son of Joseph, not the son of some other man, but he is the Son of God. Because his father was that, my friend, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. People ask time and again, is this not Joseph, the carpenter's boy? No, it wasn't Joseph, the carpenter's boy. He'd work a miracle and they'd say, how does he do this? He's just Joseph. Is this not Joseph, the carpenter's son? The truth is, Joseph was not his daddy. Amen. Woo! Bless his name. He raised from folks from the dead. And they said, is this Joseph the carpenter's boy? He fed 5 loaves and 2 fishes to 5,000 people. And my friend, 5,000 men plus women and children. And they said, is this not Joseph the carpenter's son? And the truth is, he's the son of God. Hey friend, he calmed the sea and they said, is this not Joseph the carpenter's son? But he was the son of God. His father was the Holy Spirit. His father, my friend, was in heaven and not on earth. He was a heavenly child. He was heaven's child. And his father of the half has not been told concerning the miracle of his carnation. We can't tell it when it comes to his father. I want to say we can't tell it when it comes to his fullness. Amen. He was something that nobody else ever was, in that he was 100% man, just as all we are. And yet he was 100% God at the same time. Somebody said that's 200%. That's impossible. With men, that's why the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:42, or is it 2:42? How with men these things were impossible, but with God all things are possible. Amen. Well, bless his high and holy name. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He was fully God and fully man. He was God's Christ become man's Jesus. Amen. Everything, he was everything man could not be and everything God demanded that we be. And if we'll put our faith and trust in him, he'll fulfill the demands of the law for us. That's right. He was infinitely God and he was absolutely man. How about that? That's something you ought to memorize. Ought to remember that. He was infinitely God and he was absolutely man. You see, some folks think that Jesus was as some sort of spirit or some sort of heavenly being while on earth. And as such, they discount the pain and the anguish and the sorrow and the heartbreak he faced in life. But he was all God and all man. He called himself the Son of Man, and yet he was the Son of God. He called himself the Son of God, and yet he was the Son of Man. Amen, that's right. Hey, friend, he was all God and all man. Matter of fact, he was infinitely God so much that he was God before he came to Bethlehem. Micah 5:2 said, Bethlehem would host he whose, quote, goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. Hey, you see, he's the everlasting Son of God, who was given to us and for us, according to Isaiah 9:6. He was God in glory before time in John 17:5. He was God in Bethlehem in time. He'll continue to be God for eternity. For Hebrews said in chapter 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He'll always be God. Infinitely God. The Lord Jesus did not begin at Bethlehem, just as surely as he did not end at Calvary. Amen. He is infinitely God. He's infinitely God and he's absolutely man. Hebrews 10:5 said, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared for me. He was robed in the likeness of human flesh. He took upon himself a body of flesh just like our bodies, yet without the inherent sin nature. You see, he was born of a woman. That which was conceived in that woman was of the Holy Ghost. He was born with 5 fingers on each hand, 5 toes on each foot. His heart palpitated and beat just like our hearts do. His lungs breathed air in and exhaled air back out. He was in a body of human flesh, just like you and I live in. He knew what it was to have the pain of a friend turned against him. He knew the pain of hunger in his belly. He knew the sorrow of losing someone to death. I believe, listen now, you'll never find Joseph. You'll never find Joseph in the ministry of Christ as an adult. The last time we see him is when Jesus is 12 years old. You think what you want to about it. I don't think that the man that God entrusted to raise his son, I came to a place where he didn't care about his boy anymore. I believe Jesus knew what it was to bury the man that he followed around and called daddy. I knew what he believed. He knew what it was to bury the man whose hammer he carried in the carpenter's workshop. He knew what it was to experience heartache and heartbreak. He was a man with real emotions and real feelings and real experiences like we face. Amen, that's right. The Lord took upon Himself a body of flesh just like our bodies. The necessity of the virgin birth allowed the Holy Ghost, if you will, to short circuit the sin cycle that was perpetuated from Adam's seed. And the Savior was miraculously conceived in Mary by the overshadowing work of the Holy Ghost. Thus He had Adam's flesh and His Father's sinless blood, so that He might give that blood as a ransom for sinners. That's why He said in 1 Peter 1:18, that we're not redeemed with corruptible seed, such as silver and gold, or vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with that precious blood, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, unto this condemnation. He shed His pure, precious blood, and it was real blood, friend, but it was His Father's blood in a body like an ours. You see, Jesus, much like Adam was made of the earth, but that which was in Him was the breath of God and the life. That's where the life is in the breath. Valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. I don't have time to preach on that. That's a 3-hour sermon by itself. Valley of dry bones in Ezekiel. Bones come together. Skin comes on it. Sinews on the flesh. And the skin comes on it. And all this stuff. They become an exceeding mighty great army. And yet they don't have any life in them. And yet the Lord says, prophesy of the four winds. The four winds come. And the breath of God comes into them. And they breathe. And that's when they're alive. God makes man of the dust of the earth. And my friend, He formed him. Yet he was a dead, limp, lifeless form. Until God said, and He breathed into His nostrils the breath of life. It was then He became a living soul. What was the Spirit of God likened unto? My, this is a big rabbit I've got to chase. What is the Spirit of God likened unto by our Lord Jesus? The wind bloweth where it listeth, and no man... Woo! Bless His name. Friend, you can't see the wind, but you can feel it. You can hear it. You can experience His touch. So also is the Spirit of God. I tell you, thank God. When the Spirit of God hovered over Mary, it was God putting the breath of life in His darling Son. It was not passed on from Adam, but it was given by God's own nostrils. And just like He made Adam with the breath of His own nostrils, and we've inherited Adam's sinful souls by inheritance from our father, for his death was passed upon one man for that all have sinned. And yet all these born in the likeness of Adam and in the similitude of Adam, and then all we have sinned. Amen, that's right, and failed God and come short of the glory of God. And yet our Lord, just like Adam, was made from the direct breath of God. He was made in a body just like us. But unlike us, He wasn't made after the similitude of Adam's sin in the soul of Adam, which is where the death is in this sin nature. But rather, friend, He's born in the flesh. But that breath in Him was that of the Lord. My, that's big, ain't it? Good Lord, if you get a hold of that just right, somewhere we might find you on the side of the road, running up and down. Amen. Thank God. I tell you, He's all God and He's all man. Hey. Oh, well, I'll give you something bigger than that. That was from God that was in Him. That breath that was in Him. You know what He gave up on the cross? He took one last breath. Woo! And He said it is finished. And He gave up the ghost. You know what He gave up? He didn't just give up His body. He gave up the breath. He gave up the life that is in Him. He gave up a sinless soul. He gave up what His Father put in Him. Woo! Bless His high and holy name. I tell you, He was all God and all man. Oh, the half's not been told concerning His incarnation. The truth be told, I ain't even got sense enough to know how to preach about it this morning. But I'm doing what I can to tell you that His God became man to save you and I, sinners, from all of our sins. Amen. His Father. Amen. His fullness and then His favor. There was only one that the Father counted worthy to carry out the assignment. Only one that the Father counted fit to do what needed to be done concerning the sinners and the people of the world. And that was His favored Son. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a prophet. Or He didn't send one risen from the dead. But He sent unto us His own Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He didn't send somebody else. He sent His own Son. Had our greatest need been money, He would have sent us an economist. Had our greatest need been health, He would have sent us a doctor, a physician. Had our greatest need been law, He would have sent us an attorney. Had our greatest need been pleasure, He would have sent a vacation planner. Amen. But our greatest need was the forgiveness of sins. So He sent us a Savior. Thank God. Well, unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon His shoulder. And His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Everlasting God, the Mighty Father, Prince of Peace. And of His rulership and His kingdom and His government there shall be no end. Oh, bless His name. I'm glad He sent Jesus. Amen. I'm glad Jesus came. Glory to His name. Oh, what a friend is He. Woo! Bless His high holy name. He was chosen, His favor from the Father. Jesus only was qualified to do that. The half has not been told about His cradle. Boy, when we talk about the incarnation of Christ, the miracle of the incarnation, I tell you, we hadn't told the half of it. We hadn't told the half of it concerning His cradle when it comes to the mystery of godliness. You know that? Not only the miracle of the incarnation, but the mystery of godliness. There are seven mysteries listed in the Bible, and I'll not mention them all. You can take that tidbit of wisdom and go home and study it out for yourself. But the seven mysteries listed in the Bible, seven different times the Bible speaks of a mystery or of mysteries seven different times. They're very interesting. One of them is the mystery of godliness. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Here's what it is. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels. Angels preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Christ was more than just the Son of God. Kind of hard to imagine that being more than the Son of God. But He was more than just the Son of God. He was also God the Son. That's meant He was not just the offspring of God, but that He and His Father were one. An absolute and total unity. And He said, when you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. Thus, He said, the mystery of godliness is God was manifest in the flesh. He was God the Son. He was the Son of God. Hey, friend, Christ was the bodily manifestation of the Godhead. Colossians 2 and 9 says, for in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It is a mystery, friend. Isaiah even asked in Isaiah 53 and 1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? I'm going to tell you something, friend. All the folks is going to see the arm of the Lord. That is the power of God. That is the might of God. That is the saving hand of God. Are those that believe the report. I'm glad to say I'm a believer this morning. And He made a believer out of me. I believe the report. I believe the Bible. I believe the message of the gospel. I've not preached it. Now listen, hey, I've been preaching just over 19 years. This next year, be celebrating 20 years in the ministry. We ought to have a party or something or other for that if I make it that long. Be celebrating 20 years of the ministry next year. And I don't know how many hundreds or thousands have sermons that I preach. I don't know how many times I preached when I felt good. And how many times I preached when I didn't feel good. I don't know how many times I preached in dead meetings. And then I preached a lot of times in good meetings. And I'm going to tell you whether it's good or bad. Whether I was high or low, whether I preached long or short, I hadn't told the half of it. I hadn't even got started. I hadn't even made a dent in the message that is the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness. So that bridges, I guess, us to point number three. the half's not been told about the miracle of the incarnation, the mystery of godliness, or the message of His coming. We've not told the half about the message of His coming. Amen. Hebrews 11:1 says that God has in, quote, sundry times and diverse manners spoken to mankind. He's spoken to us by the prophets, it said. He has spoken to man concerning His nature, His law, man's sin, but on no subject has He spoken more often than on the coming of His Son. To the Old Testament saints and the gospel dispensation, He spoke concerning the first advent of Christ. How unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. But oft time in the Old Testament, and surely many times in the New, He speaks concerning the second advent of Christ. How that He will come in power and great glory. And we shall see Him. Even they, every eye shall see Him. Even they that pierced Him. We shall see Jesus just as He is. To the Old Testament saints He spoke concerning His coming in a cradle. Isn't that right? To the Old Testament saints He spake concerning His coming in a manger, in a cradle. It was predicted by the prophets. Isaiah 7:14. I'll give you a million of them, but I'll give you a few. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call His name Emmanuel. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulders. Then shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Micah 5:2. But thou, O Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me he that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting. I like Psalm chapter 40 and verse 7. I like everything in Psalm chapter 40. Verse 7 and 8 says, then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Isaiah 22:22. And the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open. I tell you, God deals with our hearts just that way, doesn't He? Psalm chapter 2 and verse number 7. He said, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I tell you what's predicted by the prophets of the Old Testament concerning His coming. That the half of it was not told. Amen. It was stated in the stars of His first coming. Yet the half of it was not told. I don't know how all this works. And this part of the Bible makes me uneasy. Can I confess that? Because I don't understand how it works. I know that the Bible condemns soothsaying. Somebody say amen. The Bible condemns soothsaying and astrology and condemns all of these fortune-telling business, and it condemns those that were filled with demons that were doing it. And friend, we know today it to be an industry that is filled with phonies and fakes and swindlers and con artists. Amen. But I tell you, the Bible condemns that time and that day whenever there was people that really, absolutely, and I believe it's something else that even possess, they don't know what they're doing with them. And friend, hey, we're looking at people now and think they got mental problems. Someone's full of the devils. What's wrong with them? Amen. They got devil problems instead of mental problems. That's exactly right. And I'm not a doctor and don't play one on TV and didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night, but I have read my Bible and I know that there's some folks got demon problems in the world we're living in. That's exactly right. But there's something that happened that's completely out of the ordinary concerning the stars at the time Jesus was born. There's no getting around it. There's no explanation for it. We don't know how to understand it, but thank God for the beautiful star of Bethlehem. Amen. While all the devils in the world's looking at the stars to find romance and to learn their future and to find answers, there's one star that still shines in the east. There's one star that still is shining and pointing people to God. That beautiful star of Bethlehem. Shine on. Amen. Well, bless His name. The wise men said, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, Judah, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is He that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. I don't pretend to know how that works, but I know that God God works in mysterious ways. And he spoke to the wise men concerning his message, stating it in the stars. And they knew a little bit that though they had heard from the stars, and though my friend the Jews had heard from the prophets, their half had not been told. Psalm 19 and 1 said, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Right. Stated in the stars, proclaimed or predicted by the prophets. I want to say the message of his coming was announced by the angels. That's right, ain't it? Amen. He wasn't in a palace. Right. He wasn't in a great castle of some kind or some huge mansion. He was not on Main Street. But he was in a manger. And here it was, our Lord born in a manger. And cows mooing about. And sheep bleating. And everybody going about their business and had no room nor no time for him. Oh, and some say it's lowly beginnings. It's an humble time. But friend, I'm going to tell you, it's the only baby that when that's born, there's a host of angels showed up in heaven to sing about it. Amen. You said there wasn't no fanfare. Well, you take the fanfare. I'd rather have an angel band. Amen. Woo! They might have a parade for royalty when they have a prince. They might have a parade for royalty when a princess is born. But an angel prayed. Band played when Jesus was born, and they proclaimed that message. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It was announced by the angels, but the half was not told. Amen. You know how I know the half wasn't told about the angels. The shepherds looked around and said, let us go see this thing. Let's now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing's been told unto us. The Bible said after they got there, they left praising God, glorifying the Lord and publishing it abroad. This thing had been declared unto them by the angels. They found it's bigger than what them angels told them it was. How about that? I'm going to tell you, I can tell you how big God is, how wow He is, how wonderful He is. And when you come to know Him, you'll find out it's bigger than I ever told you it was. Amen. And if I had a voice and a strength left, I'd shout. Praise His name. The half has not been told when it concerns the cradle and the message of His coming. I want to say it was told that there'd be peace for all people who will trust Him. Peace, goodwill. Notice this phrase, I'm going to get on the hobby horse. Peace, goodwill toward men. It's important. Words mean things. You know that, don't you? Words mean things. And words in the Bible mean things. It was not goodwill between men. It was not peace between men. It was peace, goodwill toward men. Amen. Now the peaceniks and the, my friend, the dope smoking maggot infested hippies of our time, my friend with two fingers stuck up in the air, have talked about Christmas as if it were a hippie holiday where that you're supposed to condemn all the wars of the world. And I'm going to tell you, war is an awful thing. And a thing that would not happen were it not for the hardness of men's hearts. But they use this verse and take it out of context. And they'll say, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, that is not at all what this passage is talking about. It didn't say peace between men. It said peace toward men. This does not deal with, though there's the importance of peace between men. This verse deals with peace between men and God. This verse deals with a man being at peace with God. And until you really get at peace with God, you won't know how to be at peace with your brother. Amen. You're at enmity with others until you're first at peace with God. That's why he said goodwill toward men. I'll tell you, we were at enmity with God. Our sin had separated us from God. We were out of the will of God. And yet God sent his Son not just so we can hold hands and sing kumbaya, but so I can stand in the presence of God and know that I'm saved and I have peace with God and forgiveness of sins. I got his peace toward men. Bless his name. And peace with God Though the Bible says, blessed be the peacemaker, though it's important to have peace with men, it is much more important to have peace with God than it could ever be to have peace with men. Amen. If you and I can find us a place and a time where we can get right with God, then we can know what it is to be right with others. Peace with God. Not peace with a crowd, peace with the world, and peace with men. Those, listen, this world's always going to have wars and rumors of wars, and it's going to get worse as we come into the last days because of the sin, the hardness of men's hearts is going to wax cold. As much as lies within you, live peaceably with all men, but thank God you don't have to as much as lies within you, but as much as lies within Christ, you can have peace with God. Don't have peace with God because of what lies within you. But you have peace with God because of what was in Christ. And our faith and our hope is in Him. And He said His goodwill toward men. Hey, we didn't give any goodwill toward God. We didn't do anything to exert ourselves to try to get right with God. Now when man couldn't even do anything to get right with God, God sent goodwill toward men. Bless His name. Bless His name. It's a message that we can have peace with God in Ephesians 2 and 14 says He, Jesus, He is our peace. The half's not been told. The half has not been told. I ain't even got started. The half has not been told. Well, my, I'm done preaching. I'm going to tell you this morning, the half has not been told concerning His coming in the cradle. But the half has not been told concerning His coming in the cloud either. The half has not been told concerning His coming in the cradle. But one day when He comes back, He won't be on a cross or in a cradle. He'll be on a cloud. And my, when He's riding that white horse, a two-edged sword coming from His mouth, a banner wrapped around His waist and His thigh that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He'll be God, and besides Him there's not another. And every knee's going to bow. Every tongue's going to confess. Even they that pierced Him's going to see Him. And the half has not been told concerning His coming in a cloud. He will come in power and great glory. Here's the question for you today. Will you trust the Savior who came in a cradle? Or will you be judged by the Sovereign who comes in the cloud? Will you trust the Savior, our Lord Jesus, who came in a cradle? That baby who came to solve the problems of the world that you testified about this morning. Or will you be judged by the Sovereign God of the universe that comes in the cloud? And it's completely and altogether on your shoulders. Today you can come by the way of the cross. Isn't this beautiful? These crosses on this altar pew. Today you can come by the way of the cross. But there'll come a day when He's on a cloud and a crown on His head. And you will have be judged not upon what choice you make at that time, but based upon what you did today. And when you answer to God in that time, will you be satisfied that you've sought Him at the foot of the cross now? Or will you tremble in judgment at the Christ that came in a cloud and say, "Oh Lord," and He'll say, "It's too late." What will you do with Jesus? The half's not been told. He's more than anybody ever told me about Him. Oh yes, stand to your feet. You need to come and come to know the Lord. I'd find me a place to talk to Jesus. Sing when you get ready. Come talk to Him this morning. Get you some help from the Lord.
The wonder of wonders,
oh,
as she looked on His face, that this little boy spoke the worlds in their place.
Hallelujah.
The stars and the moon shining brightly on them. The earth and the sun were created.
Amen.